Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl, when
I didn't know what I was
going to do,
when
and
I was
a little girl,
when
I started to live alone, my heart was
greetings. You are tuned into Log Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janet Swory. I am so delighted to be able to come again across these airways and skyways, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that all has been well in your family circle. Hallelujah. And I hope and pray that all continually to be well, hallelujah, with you and yours. And I just want to thank those of you that were able to tune in on this morning, hallelujah. And may God richly bless you. I just thank you because you just don't know what a blessing, hallelujah, that you are, hallelujah, to this ministry. And may God bless you. I tell you, God is going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams. I tell you, because God just, he get a joy out of blessing his children, especially when we are helpers one unto another. And God tell us that we are to be helpers one unto another. Hallelujah. And so, you know, when we are obeying God and doing what God has instructed you and I to do, you know, then it's nothing. Hallelujah. I mean, it's absolutely, positively nothing that God will not do for his children. I mean, that might be hard to visualize, but I tell you, that's the way God works. God loves us. God loves you and I. And he knows that I need you and you need me. And that's the way God planned it. Hallelujah. Yes, that's the way he planned it. Yes, Lord. So I'll tell you, I just thank God for allowing me once again to come across these airways and skyways, bringing unto you the divine word of truth as I know it to be. So that means that I'm telling the word just as I find it in the 66 epistles gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so I'm not going to take away anything, and neither am I going to add anything unto the word of God. God has it laid out as he would have us to deliver it. And so if we are obedient children to God, then we will deliver it just as he had it laid out and he had instructed you and I to do. Hallelujah. And so that's what I am just eagerly to do, is to do the will of my Father. You hear me? See, I'm on assignment. I'm intending to carry it out to the best capabilities that I can grasp. I tell you, because we must be willing to give God our own, our all, because God gave us his all when he sent Jesus to die for us. So I'm not going to get too far off into, you know, what I'm doing right now, because I have still got to do our opening prayer. But I want to just welcome you aboard, and I have already opened up the chat room for you to just come in and have your good seat, and may God richly bless you and you. And I know he will, because God is a God, hallelujah, that, like I said, he blesses or you're forgiven. You might say, well, Overseer Ward, you know, I haven't given you anything. I haven't given you any currency of any kind. But, you know, whatever is your talent or your time, whatever that you render unto God, if you render unto this ministry, you are rendering unto God. And for doing so, God is going to bless you. Just like when you go to work and you do your 8 hours or how many hours that you're scheduled to perform on your at your workplace. And then when it's time for you to get your check, then you have gotten paid the wages that you have, the wages that you have put in. And so that's the way God works. God blesses us. You know, when we be a blessing to our sisters and our brothers that's in need and them that need our time and our attention, then God collectively and spiritually bless you and I. So like I said, I just want to also take this time and this podium to send prayers out to those of you that has lost loved ones, maybe those that has been ill for a length time, or maybe just some that, you know, maybe was in an automobile accident, or, you know, just we have this flooding that's been going on now in Louisiana, and we know that we've had a lot of lives that has been lost in that flooding. Not only have it been you know, the people's place of residence that has been lost, but also there has been lives that has been lost as well. So we want to just send condolences out to all of them as well, and those around the world, those firemen that had got injured in the fire up in the San Bernardino, California area that's continued to burn at this time. And so we want to just send prayer to each and every one of you that has lost a wife or spouse, son or daughter or grandparents or parents or uncle or aunt, a friend, a dear friend, a business colleague, maybe been your caregiver, someone that's near and dear to your heart and soul. We allow this time to send this out each and every time that we come across these airways and letting you know that you are not alone in your hour of despair, that God has children, pilgrims, and sojourners that are praying around the world. And so just know that you might be alone bodily, but you are not alone spiritually. And may God return back to you, hallelujah, his just joyful spirit within your soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to go now into our opening prayer. I want to introduce the psalm and present to others. He's the man of the hour. He's Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. We know that, hallelujah, he was born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. But we know that Jesus is not a baby anymore, but he is a spiritual deity, spiritual man that's sitting up in the heavenly thrones of glory. Hallelujah. And so we just want to thank him for allowing us this opportunity, this stage, this podium, to be able to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we just thank you, gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together in unity, God. We thank you with our love unmeasured. And we know that this soil that we're treading on is not our eternal destination. But we know that you have lying in waiting, a permanent place for us. But until you crack those clouds one historical day, God, we will continually, God, to mount up before the four corners of this world, God, as pilgrims through this barren land, God. I'm asking you, God, to just enable me, God, to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may or may not know of you, God, the pardons of their iniquity, God. I want you to grace me, God, with words of wisdom. Hallelujah. Words of encouragement to each and every one, God, out there that are hurting, that has lost everything that they own, God. We're asking you, God, to just hold them close, God, in your bosom, God. We know that you're able to do anything, God, but fail. So we're asking you, God, to just, hallelujah, God, just hold them and love them, God, and let them know that they're not alone. Those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul, God, we'll be so mindful, God, to give your name the glory and all the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. We'll let the kingdom church of God say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And like I first stated, I just thank you once again for just allowing, hallelujah, us to come into your living room area, come into your workspace, hallelujah, and just bring unto you the divine word of God, hallelujah. And so I just want you to get all your digital devices. I want you to get your laptop, get your tablet, get your smartphone, get all your toys. I call them our toys. Get all your digital gadgets and bring them aboard. Get you a good seat, and you can get your pen and a pad and write down the scriptures as I relate them to you, and you can go in further discussion behind what I have presented on this morning at your own time and discretion. And I just thank you once again for just, you know, so graciously tuning in to the Old Ship of Zion, where your host and facilitator is Overseer Janice M. Ward. And I'm the creator, and I'm also the CEO of GHOD, that means God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry Incorporated. And we just thank you, hallelujah, at this time. And may God again bless you. And right now, without any further ado, I will be with you. I'm scheduled to be with you an hour. And so it might extend out a little bit if I'm going to present a little of the old hymns of Zion. But I'm not going to be too long on this morning, because I know that, you know, you got to get a little rest, and I need to get at least a couple of hours of rest. So I'm just going to let God move by his spirit as he so desires. And we're going to take you right on into a live program that's already in progression. And our sermon on this morning entitled, Christ the Answer. And we're going to read our first key scripture. And it reads this: And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law, hallelujah, of that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Philippians 4:19. And we're going to move on down to our second key scripture. And it reads like this: If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That scripture reading is coming in from the law of Matthew 16:24. All right, we're going to move on down to our last, final, third and final key scripture. It says that though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And that scripture reading, my sister and my brother, is coming out of the law of Isaiah 1:18. Hallelujah. Have you ever been in a situation where the demands of life seem overwhelmed? The resource available to you, perhaps it seems as if your physical, mental, and spiritual strength was depleted. Yet you wondered how you were going to make it. We know that many face this same crisis in today's society. We find out that mothers abandon newborn babies because the demand of raising a child are greater than the resource they have to meet them. We find out that young people smoke crack or marijuana to escape the reality that life's demands are greater than the resources they have to meet them. But Jesus' disciple experienced such a time as well. When Jesus called on them to find food for 5,000 people, they told him, Jesus, hallelujah, that's a nice thought, but all we have are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes to feed 5,000 people. But what the disciples failed to realize was that their analysis was correct, but their solution was off base. We find out that the demands of the situation exceeded their resources, hallelujah, but the solution was not to send people away hungry. The disciples made a critical mistake by focusing on their ability to feed 5,000, not God. They started rationalizing instead of praying. They started doubting instead of looking to Jesus to come up with a solution. And we have that same thing going on in our world and in our society today, that people want to do everything on their own. They feel that, you know, I'm macho and I'm man enough and I'm woman enough and I'm big enough and I'm tough enough and I'm rough enough that I don't need to call on God. I can do whatever I need to do on my own with my own strength, my own ability. But I'm here to set the record straight. It is no way that we can, as people, as clay of this earth, can ever exist without the aid of our God. We need God in everything that we do and say, whether we want to acknowledge that or not. We need God, because God tells us to acknowledge me in everything that you do. So as we go on in our daily lives and our itineraries, we need God help. Thinking, we need God. In our travel, we need God. In our decision making, we need God. We need God for every single thing, for our food and our nourishment. Hallelujah. We need God. We need God for our water to feed our soul with, the thirst that we have. We need God. When we need to select the schools and the universities, the daycare, the colleges, and the job placement that we desire to work, we have to discover and to discern and to call on God to help us in making the right choice. So when we have Jesus among you and I and us, no one has to go away, hallelujah, empty-handed. When we have Jesus in our lives, we know that the word tells us that God will supply all of yours and mine's and our needs according to his riches. With Jesus in our lives, we will never want, because God will open up doors we cannot see. The word tells us that if we lack anything, we should petition God, who give graciously. We should not doubt that God is going to supply the need, because he will not withdraw any good thing from those who walk upright. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalms 84 and 11. Instead, you and I and us, we need to do as Paul encouraged us. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by praying and supplication, with thanksgiving, Be but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Philippians 4 and 6. So I'm encouraging you on today. Take your needs to God. And as you leave them at the altar, walk away thanking him for supplying your needs. And we're talking about on this morning, Christ, the answer. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we know that my God, your God, and our God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. That scripture reading once again is coming out of the law, Philippians 4:19. Ask you this question. What does everyone have in common? The answer, my sister and my brother, is simply rich or poor. Black or white, young or old, everyone has problems. Hallelujah, Jesus. Behind the smile of the busiest of life, we all face issues we wish we could solve or avoid. We find out the newspaper advice columns attest to the variety of questions that we humans face on a daily basis. Ranging from does he really love me, or getting along with a meddling in-law, dealing with a family member, alcohol and addiction. We find out that some problems are relatively trivial and that they are temporary and serious only to the person facing them. But we all struggle with the biggest and more long-term question. In one degree or another, hallelujah, three concerns are universal. The problem of suffering. We find out that very few of us are immune from suffering of some type. We know that centuries ago, a wealthy, respected man called Job, hallelujah, he lost his business, his health, and most his family in a matter of days. It was cold comfort to hear, yet the Bible tells us that man is born to trouble as the spark fly upward. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Job 5 and 7. So whether it is the million starving in different parts of the world, we know that a child with a dreadful disease, a lingering illness, a bitter conscience, a major regret, or serious loss, our suffering of one sort or another is everywhere. And sometimes we blame ourselves, often we blame God and wonder why he allowed bad things to happen to good people. Is there an answer to the problem of suffering? We find out that the problem of suffering is the word sin and guilt. Both have I in the middle. Sin occurs when we ignore God's law and live for number one rather than for God, and therefore for others. We find out that God is our maker, and he has given us a command that you and I, hallelujah, Jesus, we fail to keep. We think wrong thoughts, we speak wrong words, and do wrong deeds. Although we may be respectable in the world's eye, God find out that our heart are really and intimate with God. If there were no sins in the world, there would be no war. There would be no starvation. No need to lock our homes, our cars, our fear in the streets. No pornography or smutty television or arguments or lost tempers. No divorce or drunkenness. Violence, AIDS, abortion, and crime would be unknown. But we know that sin is definitely a problem for all of us. You might ask, is there an answer to it? The problem of death. We find out that 100 out of every 100 babies born will die eventually. It is the ultimate statistic. We find out that life rapidly rolls by. Time is short. Our years has been like a vapor. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalms 39 and 5. To grass or flower, all here today but gone tomorrow. When the news goes around that you have gone, what will be your destination? What happens when a person dies? The Bible teaches that it is appointed for man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Hebrews 9:27. You might ask, why do people go jogging or take vitamin tablets or have regular medical checkups? Behind it all is a fear of death. Everything we achieve on earth, fame, fun, friends, and fortune, have to be left behind. However much we leave in our will, we leave everything the world values. The only items we take with us is a record of life we have lived and of what we have done with Jesus Christ. How different life would be if only there was an answer to the problem of sin, suffering, and death. But I want to set the record straight. There is an answer. Hallelujah. Only man who never needed to face the problem of suffering and sin or even death has ever been born into this world. That man was Jesus Christ, who cares for you and I and all of our problems and can help you and I to cope with them. His love was so great that he left heaven and came to earth. As a man, and God had every right to wash his hands of the world that was in rebellious against him. But instead, he came to deal with yours and mine and our sins and suffer even death. We find out that Christ, he deals with suffering. Christ was born to a young woman from humble surroundings. He entered a suffering world, an enemy occupied country, arriving not in a palace, a well-equipped maternity ward. Instead, since there was no room in the inn, he was laid in a manger. His early months were spent as a refugee in Egypt to escape the wrath of Herod, coming of the king of the Jews. Rather than turning aside from suffering, Jesus proposedly went, hallelujah, to the outcast and the underdog, though the religious and the political leaders did not want him. The common people heard him gladly. Jesus sought out the sick, hallelujah, and the dying, and he touched, and his touch, hallelujah, Jesus, brought healing. He went to the bereaved and wept at the grave of a friend. He spoke to all others scorned, yet he knew what it was like to have one disciple doubt him, another to deny him, and a third to betray him. Those who once forsook all to follow him would forsake him and flee when the road got rough. On the cross, the Savior hung naked, his back beaten, his beard plucked round his head, nails pierced his hands and his feet, blood and spittle poured out down his side. The physical and mental agony he bore was great. But something more important was happening. We're told that Christ was choosing to carry on his shoulder the wrongs of the world. In those hours, even God turned away from his dearly beloved son. Can anyone suffering be worse than that? We find out that Jesus totally identified himself with all forms of human suffering. Because of what Christ did for you and I and us, you can find comfort casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. That scripture reading is coming out of the law. 1 Peter 5:7. Jesus dealt with death and he dealt with sin. But I want to say this one thing, that Christ never sinned. The Bible says Christ did not sin. Neither was a guile found in his mouth. He never blushed with shame. He never needed to seek forgiveness. He had no open or secret faults. Those close to him said he was without sin. Even his enemies could find no fault in him. Yet Jesus came into the world to deal with the sin of the world. Christ identified with our suffering, but he also paid the price for our sin. Jesus' disciple Peter said, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That scripture reading is coming out of 1 Peter 3:18. When Christ was on the cross, God took all the sin of all time and laid it on Jesus. He took the punishment for it so we might be forgiven and set free. But Jesus did not come into the world for good people. He would never have found any. He came into the world for sinners, which include you and I and us, because Christ dealt with the problem of sin by bearing it all in his own body on the cross. He offers forgiveness and the opportunity for mankind to return to God's family. Christ deal with death. Christ, who never sinned, need never have died. He said, no man can take my life from me, power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of John 10:19. As you and I and us, as we have seen in previous messages, Jesus deliberately set his face toward the place of his death and became the sacrificial lamb. Christ chose to be born, though he was born to die, and he chose to die. Willingly, he went through the valley of death for us, all of us. Christ was buried, but 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And I'm here to let you know on today that he is alive, and he is able to deal with the problem of death by giving his resurrection of life to you and I and us. Jesus has the answer. Jesus claimed that he is the answer. And we know without a shadow of a doubt that he is the answer for you and I in the world today. We know that we're living in catastrophe everywhere, on every end, on every surface of the world. There is wars and rumors of wars. There is fires. There is flooding, and I'll tell you, just disaster everywhere and anywhere that you want to look. You just choose where you want to look, east, north, south, or west. It's trouble on every hand. That's letting us know that our time is short and that Jesus is soon to come. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is soon to come. And time is of an essence. Time waits on no one. The clock is steady ticking, tick, tock, tick on the wall. Hallelujah. We know that Christ is the answer to life's greatest needs. But there must be a response to his love. There must be someone that said, Jesus, I'm tired of the life that I'm living, and that I want to live my life, the remainder of my life, serving you. I'm tired of the sinful life, all the delusions that the world has to offer. It's all a delusion. Only Christ can guarantee you and I an eternal place of rest after this life. Hallelujah. But you must claim the prize. And we're talking about Jesus. Jesus is the marvelous gift that God's offered to you and I and all people. We know that Christians are those who have come to a moment when they completely accept Christ as their personal Savior and his Lord. The Bible called this conversion. As soon as someone is converted, Christ began to deal with the three main problems in that person's life. Christ dealt with your suffering, but Jesus never promised you and I and us that it would be an easy ride through life. In fact, he said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, Matthew 16:24. To follow Christ is to swim against the world tides. However, the Lord Jesus promised to be always with those who trust him. He is your joy of every present help in a time of trouble. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, Psalms 46:1. We're told that a woman by the name of Betsy Ten Boom was imprisoned and brutally treated in Ravensbrück concentration camp during World War II. But before dying there, she said to her oldest sister, Corey, if ever you get out of this place, go and tell the world that no one matters. How deep the pit, he is deeper still. Far from being an insurance policy against difficulties, we know that Christianity is your guarantee of God's peace. Even if you cannot explain why you are the one who is having to suffer, you cannot understand all there is to know about suffering, but you can know that it is possible through it all to experience God's peace, his answer to the problem of suffering. Christ deals with yours and mine and our sin. God never made the world to be as it is. Sin is the basic cause of all of our problems. When you ask Christ to be your Savior and your Lord, he immediately forgives all sin. All the wrong that you have ever committed is now removed, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. That scripture reading is coming out of the law once again, Isaiah 1 and 18. We know that a lifetime of sin can be cleansed in less than an instant. When you trust Christ, you'll find that your desires change. You receive a new power to be able to overcome sin. Once you have made run after sin, now you run away from it. As years of Christian living unfolds, God continue his work in you and I and us to make you more like Christ, what have you to be. His work is completed in heaven. We know that on earth the Christian is freed from the penalty and the power of sin. In heaven, the Christian is also freed from sin present forever. God's answer to the problem of sin is his pardon. Hallelujah. Christ dealt with death for the Christian. Death is not a tragic end or a loss of all things. In the moment of conversion, God disposes of your past and henceforth directs your future. Eventually, Christ will deliver you from death. We know that a Christian need not fear life's end. Christ died to deal with the sting of death, which is sin, and rose again to give his lasting present in life, death, and eternity. Though we deserve hell, God promised heaven to all who turn from their sins and repent, trust in Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. The answer to sorrow and death is God's presence. What you and I do with Christ matter for all eternity. It is vital that you and I get right with God and start to live for him, submitting every part of your being to him. When you will discover that Christ to be the answer to your problem of suffering, sin, and death. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, 1 John 5 and 4. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And so we know that Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. There was an old song that said, Christ is the answer for the world today. For there is no other. Jesus is the way. And God's word declares that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. And we know that anyone that comes to Christ must believe on him and serve him with all of the mind, all of the heart, and all of their soul. Hallelujah. And in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prepositions you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This program has been produced by Blog Talk Radio. Program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondent, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California 95020. You can log on to our web address, www.janiceWardMinistries.org. We're going to now change the dynamics of this program. We're going to now turn you over to Hymns of Zion, to uplift your spirit and to encourage your heart. So till we meet again, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Buckle up with Jesus at the wheel because he is people friendly. Up next, Hymns of Zion by Far now. Hallelujah.
Good morning.
Say a command.
Fear.
I'm sorry, I don't recognize that command. Say a command.
Depression.
I'm sorry, I don't recognize that command. Say a command.
Broken.
I'm sorry you're having difficulties right now. Please try again later. Goodbye.
Reset.
Reset.
Now I know better than this. Can't live my life in sin. We confess to away my ill. My
break it down, break it down, break it down. Now everybody needs a little cleaning sometimes, and yeah, I can introduce you to the best cleaner alive.
Mm.
Every now and then we all go through a little strife,
yeah.
But if you let him, he will change your life. And I can hear you saying that life's been rough. Oh yeah, you've been going through a whole lot of stuff. God specializes in the impossible. Just trust and believe. Yeah, grace is more than enough.
Yeah.
Ooh, oh, claim it now.
It's
time. Oh,
oh,
I need to do. I'm begging you to make me new, make me over.
Paradise,
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 where I wanna be.
have no idea what you went through to get to where you are. So many times it seemed like it was over. Isaac Free, tell them about it.
Every time I think that I'm all by myself, oh,
here.
You might think that you've got it all worked out.
Yep.
And you think that everything's okay. Yeah. There ain't nothing that you've done to deserve His mercy and His grace.
He gives us what we don't deserve. Amazing.
You were about to lose everything.
Yep. I know I'm not the only one who's been there.
When the thunder set in midday,
yep. He made the doctor.
And the devil tried to test your faith.
He thought he really had you this time.
One good reason why you should still be alive. Yeah.
I don't have not one, I think.
That pastor did you pass last night? What meant to take your life?
If you be honest, if God hadn't covered you,
it would have been you in the grave. Could have been you with the pain. When the Dutch had 20 to life, should have been calling your neighbor. There ain't nothing left to do to please the King's mercy and His grace.
Can I get a witness on that? Thank God.
You were about to lose.
Preach, preach, preach. there's nothing else they can do. Somebody has dead to the ceiling, and all your fields are due. But I know a man that is able to fix everything you are going through. And this man, he is incredible. Give your problems to him and just let him go. There's some people out there that really doubt him. You gotta believe me, I know too much about him. You ain't got nothing to lose.
I already feel this right here. It's gonna be a good one. Ha! Come on!
Your ways at times, but it's alright for what you've done. I owe you my life. Above all that I can imagine, that's right.
I think of all that he's done for me.
stars, but I was missing my layup. My partners tell me stay up, but all I do is stay up. Late at night, I'm up thinking how I can get my pay up. And when it came to God, I thought I had to work my way up. Learned about his grace, and now I can never repay him. Rescued me from darkness, took me from a heartless, lawless. Boy, you just don't know how good my God is. I met the Lord, and then he hit me for some life, gang. The simulated and activated to the right thing.
Show, don't need no lights, It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle.